Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Possibly coming to Wikipedia sometime soon, here on this getaway Friday night, January 2nd, 2026, the anniversary of broadcasting. No, my anniversary of broadcasting, January 2nd being, I really don't know the, I wish I could tell you the year, but I don't remember. In any event, 10 minutes after the hour, there you go.
Yeah.
But you feel I should have a Wikipedia, or could have a Wikipedia page.
I'm certain. Because I was looking into making a Wikipedia page. You need, like, references. There's a certain number of references, and they have to be, like, independent, credible, things like that. But I'm sure I could find, I'm sure there's a list of AP award winners I could find. I'm sure I could you know, slot in, like, YouTube videos. You're in I don't know if you're in Gallagher's, but you're in Ted Williams, you're in Helen Thomas's. You could reference those.
I'm in Gallagher. I'm pretty, because he announced his retirement on that show.
Oh, well, then, yeah, I'm sure you're there.
Yep.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be difficult, just time-consuming. I'm sure you could get it done.
I should be in Thunderbolt Patterson's.
You probably are in Thunderbolt. You inducted the man.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't know. It's different when you think about it.
What?
Well, I don't know, because, you know, I think of Madge as being the singular broadcaster in Marion history.
Area mourns, loss of voice of Marion.
See? There you go. That's a big deal when she died.
Yeah.
Look at the, I mean, that's
front page newspaper.
And I was quoted in the article. I don't know what I said, but I said something. When people die, they call me up. That's what I get. When Marianne died, you know, when Charlie died, when Madge died.
Well,
let's call him up. See what he has to say about the whole thing.
Well, that's good, I guess.
All right. Phone lines open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you're interested. But see, that's a real broadcaster to me. See, that separates your broadcasters and your non-broadcasters.
When you die, you get a newspaper article?
No. Did you win any awards? You know, did you do anything that was nationally covered? Those things are important.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, fair enough. Okay. Yeah.
For broadcasting.
I think Madge would fit in there. Yeah, yeah.
Well, she won the first Franny Award. I have the Western Union that was sent from New York to WMRN. When you think about that, that was unreal. That of all the stations in the country at that point, that she was one of five to win the first Fashion Reporters New York, Fashion Reporters Award New York.
It's interesting to think that that's what she did.
Well, and I love that this article has it in it, but I'm pretty sure that at that, when she was presented with that award, it's some crazy bit of history, you know? I wish she was alive so I could ask her about it. But, yeah, she made annual trips to cover Fashion Week in New York City, and in 1966 was among eight journalists to receive the first Franny Fashion Reporters Award New York for outstanding coverage of New York City as a fashion center. In 1966, Guthrie was among eight journalists to receive the Franny Award. I think they printed that twice. And she was presented the award by New York City Mayor John Lindsay and movie star Joan Crawford. Now, think about that. And I'm sure there are no pictures of that, because in those days, we didn't take pictures.
Is it T-R-Y? T-R-I-E.
What?
Guthrie.
G-U-T-H-R-E-Y.
You know, I just can't fathom her not having a Wikipedia page. Everybody's got a Wikipedia page, apparently. Well, I guess not everybody. I was looking while you and Christian were talking, and And then, like, nobody in Marion has a Wikipedia page.
Well, that's a problem.
Eber Baker has a Wikipedia page.
Eber Baker. And we don't even know where he's buried.
And I don't even know how this man... I don't know who wrote the Wikipedia page, I guess. But I don't know whoever wrote the Wikipedia page, how they got all the information. You can't find any information on Eber Baker.
See, I think this is the problem. I think people just make a lot of stuff up.
Yeah. So... Because, like, I don't know, I think it was you told me the story about the whole moving of the cemetery and the Eber Baker thing, and now I got to think, because I never thought about the founder of Marion, and I was looking into Eber Baker, and there's nothing really known about him except he was the founder of Marion. That was the year he gave the land to, the community, but, like...
I think he liked the women.
That's good.
740-383-9944. Feel free to buzz in anytime you like. And, that's the history of broadcasting. But I do think that me critiquing somebody's writing, which I don't even believe was a critique, should not be that touchy.
No, I don't think it was a critique either. And I honestly forgot it happened until you brought it up.
Well, there's no writings.
Apparently there are writings.
There are.
You're just not seeing them.
No, I'm not seeing them. Like, I'd be rude.
Well, no.
I like most people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Most people are likable, yeah.
Well, it's very rare you run into somebody who's just a problem in general.
I mean, it doesn't happen very often, and usually if it does, I don't see those people again. But you ever just think that maybe if you run into somebody and they're just, a disagreeable or, argumentative person, just generally, dislikable, you ever just think that maybe you just caught them on a bad day?
Well, you'd have to know him longer than that. I wouldn't make a decision based upon one meeting.
Well, yeah, that's... I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
But there are people that are difficult. I mean, there certainly are... They're continuously difficult.
Not the majority of people, but yeah, there are difficult people.
Yeah. So, what are you going to do?
Deal with it, I guess. I don't think you had another choice.
No, I don't think there is another choice, but you have to, at some point, understand that this person has a flawed personality.
Yeah.
But they don't see it.
I don't know. I think they see it.
Do they? No, they don't.
I don't know.
If they did, there wouldn't be problems.
No, I'm sure. I mean, you're you, so I think you're blind to a lot of your problems. But also, at the same time, I think you're blind to a lot of them. But I think you have to recognize some of them at some point. I mean, you are actively observing yourself doing them. You have to catch on to something at some point.
Maybe. I don't know. I notice that people tend to notice their flaws when they're depressed. Like, if they're down in the dumps about something, then they'll say, yeah, I am that way, and da-da-da-da-da. But they'll deny it when they think they're in a happy mood.
Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense, I suppose, I guess, yeah. I mean, it'd fit, I suppose, with the whole logic there.
It's like when you're continually nice to somebody, and then they still think you have it out for them. Even though you're continually nice. Why be continually nice to somebody if you have it out for them?
Well, I mean, you could always backstab somebody. That's happened all throughout history.
I don't know.
It happens still, currently. I mean, you're not actually dying anymore, but you'll get thrown under the bus by your friends.
Well, maybe.
And, politics, I guess, and things of that sort.
You have some Snickers bars in your...
Well, one's a Rolo, one's a Snickers bar.
Oh, okay. Is it good?
They're smashed at this point.
Why'd you smash the candy bars? Put them in your pocket.
Well, they were in my pocket. I didn't think about it until this point, and they're smashed now.
By the way, if anybody'd like to... I don't know if Christian's still out there. It was good to hear from him.
Yes.
I'm glad he's out there doing great. The wrote his first press release.
Yes, I gotta read that.
Working at the State House. Can you imagine him down there amongst all those Republicans? Apparently, the one kind of took a... They were kind of non-encouraging.
Well, I mean, I don't know necessarily that that's it. It sounds to me like they were just like, not a great time for you to join, But...
I don't know if I'd say that.
Why not?
Well, to join... Why?
Because,
you gotta join sometime.
Yeah, I mean, you got to join sometime, but I mean, I don't think the goal was for them to be like, oh, well, you know, now's not the great time. Maybe you should skedaddle and come back later. I think it was just like now, you know, this isn't the usual way things go up over at the State House. We just, it just tends to be how it's working right now. Now's not a great time.
Frankly, I'm a little upset I wasn't invited to the Christmas party down at the State House. You know, Governor DeWine and I got together at the Little Brown Jug. I feel like I should have been invited. Yeah.
Well, that would have been nice, I guess, yeah.
And I was nice to him.
You're going to go mingle around with all the...
Well, I'm not saying I would go.
just want to be invited.
Just want to be invited. It's like that whole women's club thing. You know, when I watch the little Dancing with the Stars video, I'm not saying I would ever do it. And again, I've not been asked by the women's club to do it. But if they asked, I would consider it.
And then say no.
Probably, most likely. Because I don't think that dancing around in front of a group of people who've been drinking is just really...
alcohol?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Man, it's a party down there.
It's a party. Or dirt. Carrington and I went 1 year.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
We went. Uh-huh.
How was that? Linda won that year.
Linda was in there. I mean, she won, so it was an exciting moment for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a good time.
I think you called it. I remember in the listening to the tapes.
Right, I did make that prediction. We had a good time that night, her and I, because we weren't drinking.
Well, I don't know. I might be biased, but
we were still in our head.
It's good stuff.
Everybody else was seeing, you know, better days.
Oh, well, no. I mean, you don't get, like, hammered.
No, I'm just saying we were okay.
Fair enough.
You know, it was a fun night. And like I say, if I was asked, I would consider it. Probably say no. But you never know.
Maybe you should leave the probably say no part out and maybe they'll ask.
Well, I don't know. I'm on their mailing list now and they invite me to all their little social gatherings.
How often do they have those?
Well, I got invited to the Christmas party and I was invited to the opening of the History Center and all that.
Well, that's pretty good.
I didn't go.
Why not?
But well, I was busy.
Oh, well, fair enough.
Yeah. But again, it's nice to be asked.
You could just show up. I don't know if you'd know it's happening, but you could just show up if you knew what was happening.
I don't know. Because I know that, okay.
I don't know about just showing up to a party. That's different, I guess.
This year at the dance-a-thon, I believe the police chief is dancing.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Now, how do you see that?
I mean, what do you mean?
I mean, is that, you know, you think he wants to do that?
I think if he didn't want to do it, he'd say no. I mean, is there a benefit to him to do it?
Well, yes, because I think everybody's got a little bit of a ham in them.
What do you mean?
How often do you get a chance to get up in front of a group and do something performative?
Nope. I'd turn it down in a heartbeat. I don't dance. I can tell you that right now. Don't dance.
No, but that's why people like it. Because they are non-dancers.
Well, I mean, I don't know. To my understanding, everybody danced pretty well last...
They say that, but, you know...
You were the one who was there!
Well...
Yep.
It was okay.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, wasn't exactly the Rockettes.
I don't know. Fair enough, I guess. I don't know. So is there actually a competition there?
Well, yes, I think. There's one competition. There's judges, but you never hear from the judges. So I guess that's what I'd really like to do is judge.
Oh, you'd be a great judge.
I'd be a good judge. Why don't they ask me to do that?
Who are the judges? Are they also, members from the community?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
now, see, get me in there as a judge. I'll do that. If they ask me to be... Somebody call them up. If they ask... If you know somebody from the women's club, if they ask me to be a judge, I would do it.
Well, I think that's fair. judging's a lot easier than doing the dancing.
No, I don't
Everybody's
know.
Everybody's a critic, as they say.
Right, but I think you need a good judge like that, who has no idea what dancing is all about, to point out the foibles.
Well, I don't think most people have any idea what dancing's all about.
Well, I think some of the judges are dance teachers, I believe.
Oh, well, I don't think you fit the qualification then.
No, but you, I say you need one who is just looking at it from a raw perspective. Did you think this was good?
Did it look good?
And I would say bad things. I would say that was terrible.
Problem is, like, have you ever like, I guess you've been to them before. I don't know. I've never been to one, so like, it would just be hard for me to be a judge because I've never seen anybody dance like in that setting, I suppose.
Well, I know.
So how am I supposed to judge if I don't know? Like, yeah, I mean, it was good, I guess, but I don't know what the next one's going to be like, and I don't really know if this one was any good.
You know what I was surprised? How nervous people were.
Well, they're getting up and performing in front of a whole bunch of people.
Well, the room is too small. That's one problem.
Oh yeah, you know that is that. You know when you can stare the people watching you in the eyes. That's a bit different.
And then they have some MCs for this show, and that's interesting. I'm not sure what they're going for there, but you know it's interesting.
What does the MC do?
You know, I don't want to get into it.
They just like...
Because, you know, God bless them.
Invite the people up.
There's kind of an introduction. But they do this sort of, what would you call it? It's not spontaneous. Let's put it that way. It's kind of,
Like scripted?
Oh, it's definitely scripted.
Well...
It's scripted.
Is scripted just not too strong a word?
Well, but it's like scripted jokes. And it's very interesting.
Well, I don't know how... Scripting jokes is hard. Because you have to pretty good and well guarantee that all the jokes are going to land. That's why being a comedian is hard. Because
listen,
if you go out there with a set of jokes and all those jokes are failing, you gotta do something.
Well, they're those jokes that aren't going to fail because, you know, they asked you to do it. And
who's they?
Well, the women's club people. There's only like 80 people in that room. The room is not that big.
And the women's club just knows what all 80 people are going to laugh at?
No, I mean, because it's, you know, they're like, it's clear that it's a joke. You know, trust me, you're not getting spontaneous laughter out of that group. You're getting, that was meant to be a joke, let's laugh.
Scripted. Yeah. Everything's scripted. The joke's scripted, laughter scripted.
Well, I mean, it is. But, okay, I mean, but maybe some people are naturally laughing. I don't know. I certainly didn't.
Well, that's good to know. We'll keep that in mind.
I just thought, okay, that's... Because I like a good spontaneous host. I want somebody who's not working off papers. You know, they can make a mistake.
I don't think people like that.
Oh, they do. They do.
Well, I mean, I think the audience likes it. It's, you know, like, it's one of those higher risk, higher reward things. But I don't think organizers like that. They don't like risk.
Well, but they don't have professionals. See, if you had a professional person doing it, there is no risk.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess if you, yeah.
Like, I think back to the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, they didn't know a whole lot about me, I would think. But they let me go out on their live broadcast in front of, you know, 70,000 people. Who knows what the audience at home was. Live.
Millions.
With no speech prepared. Now, they let that happen.
Yeah.
Now, that's guts.
Yeah, I agree. See, if I was Bruce Pritchard, right?
Yep.
Yes, if I was Bruce Pritchard, I would have told you you needed a speech.
Exactly.
I don't know about all that.
Right. See, but and what happened? He was happy with it.
Yeah. Got up while the thing was still going on. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there, I guess.
No, but I was there.
Yeah, but, you know, shook your hand. Great job.
Yep, great job. Because I think in his mind, he was thinking, they really could.
He was shaking out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you could really blow this. But but a professional is not going to blow it.
Well,
you know what they want.
Well, yeah. I mean, you gotta hype the man up. I mean, that's it.
Yeah. And I incorporated it with Muhammad Ali, who was also inducted that night. You know, that was what was going on.
Yeah.
So that's it was spontaneous though. I didn't have anything in my mind except the two quotes that I didn't want to screw up. So, you know, that's what you want in a host. Not total scripted nonsense.
Well, I wouldn't like totally script it. Then it's unnatural.
Like, you know, when you're doing a show like that, like the Women's Club, whoop-de-doo. Okay, you want to get up. Your longest time speaking is going to be your opening. That's when you introduce yourself. That's when you get out whatever you want to get out. And then the rest of your night is basically to keep that thing moving. That's it. And to say goodnight.
Well, yeah, I guess.
So if you know that, you don't need to be scripted.
I mean, I don't know if they want you to like throw in jokes or something.
No, I think they do that because they. I don't know. I don't know. It's whatever.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Works well for them, I guess.
Well, look at the schools. You know, we brought that show to the schools. They had no idea what was going to be said or done or whatever.
Yeah, that is true. That is true, yes.
So you've got to have that. And I didn't give the same speech at every school.
You did not.
Because it was spontaneous. I didn't have it written down.
I wrote my speech 3 separate times, only used it once because I kept losing the paper.
Yeah. That was an interesting thing.
Yeah. See, that's why I don't like the public speaking.
Oh, I like a good public speech.
Oh. I don't know about that.
Yeah. But I like working with others, too. Like, I liked Mary Ellen's birthday party. I like that. You know, I knew my
Mary Ellen's birthday was good.
Well, but I knew my function was get in, get out, get in, get out, get in, get out. Keep it moving because it's a long show. But there were moments that I could have fun.
Well, I think, I mean, yeah. I mean, the whole thing was good.
But you don't know it until you're up there.
Don't
like, who knew Governor Taft was going to be funny? He's not somebody you would plan. You can't have a joke ready to go for Governor Taft that he's going to be funny because you don't know he's going to be funny. That's why you got to work off the cuff.
Yeah.
You can't do that if you got these scripted jokes all night long. Nice people, though. Nice people who host the show. Fine human beings. Just, you know, it needs a little work.
Just relax a bit.
Relax. Chill out. You know, work off the cuff. Don't tell those jokes. Just funny things will happen if you, you know, just let it go.
Probably, yeah. It would seem more natural, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know if they have, like, an actual script or however that works, but...
See, I won't get invited
now. It'd be natural.
I won't get invited now.
Well, they'll probably invite you, but you won't be a judge. You won't be a judge.
Well, that's okay. See, I'm being judgmental, though, right now, so that's I'm the perfect judge.
Yeah, that's accurate.
There you go. This is exactly what you would get.
It was okay.
Well, it was okay. I mean, it kept the show moving, but, you know, it wasn't exactly entertaining.
Are you going to get up there and tell jokes? Or like, just how would you do that?
No. You have to look at the audience and
you got to look at the audience.
Yeah.
They're the ones you're talking to.
No, but you don't know it until that moment. It doesn't, I didn't know what I was going to say about Thunderbolt until that moment. When it hit me, when I was up there, that's what came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Because you don't know till you're in the moment. And the first thing I said, I don't know what, it's not written, but I remember thinking, I thought, my gosh, the wrestling fan, look at this. You know, and that's the first time that dawned on me, but that's what I opened up with, I think. I said something about the fans, I remember that.
I don't remember. I remember you told the story about him getting accused of murder.
Yeah, well that... I wasn't sure if I was going to tell that or not. It depended what the crowd was like. But I'll tell you, the crowd dictated that speech because they clapped and I had to stop at different points.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they started the chant, Thunderbolt, 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 that's when I knew I could tell that story. If the speech was not going that way, I wouldn't have told that story. But when they're chanting his name, then I thought, we really have to tell that story.
Well, it's a good story.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have necessarily told that. It wasn't in my mind to tell. I even screwed up the, I think it was an Abilene, and I said Albuquerque. But that turned into a good moment because then Thunderbolt leaned over and he was next to me. He said, Abilene or whatever. So that was good. So I like that.
You know, I think my favorite part about your, I guess, not necessarily your speech, but some wrestling show afterwards did a whole bit. That was fun.
I was reading some comment over here. Oh. What'd you say?
After the Hall of Fame speech and all that, there was some like wrestling show that did that was talking about the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes.
That was good.
No, I don't listen to that.
It was funny. I liked it.
Well, because you know,
I think they were just a little bit sour grapes. Personally, seemed a little bit sour grapes.
I don't listen to it if it's good or bad because. You know,
it was funny. I don't even, you know, it is what it is, but it was funny.
Well, here, this is the thing. If it's good, I'm not going to believe it because, you know, and I'm going to say, oh, it was what it was. You know, I don't need the praise of it. But if it's bad, what do I want to hear that for?
Terrible, bad speech.
Yeah, okay, but what? It's done. I can't do it again.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess the people at home can feel however the people at home wanted to feel, but I mean the people in the stadium were feeling.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. Why do I care what somebody says afterward? I remember what it was like when I was up there. I know what the people around said.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well.
Jimmy Hart, hey baby, good speech.
Oh, I love Jimmy Hart. He's a funny guy.
You know, he turned 80 something yesterday.
Really?
Yep. Birthday was on January 3rd. See now. This person, it's always a drama. You know, the person whose writings allegedly I critiqued now is claiming that I was only ever sent one or two. Now, that's a lie. I know that's a lie because one we have talked about, and I know there was more than one other one.
I can't confirm or deny, but I can confirm there was at least one.
And then I'm being told if I cared to read them, I would go read them.
Apparently they were published.
Well, see, I didn't even know that. You know, whatever. See, it's always work.
Well, apparently, I don't know. Were you ever told that they were published or where they were
published? I'm sure that I was, but did I write it down? No. I would not know how to find it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's on you then.
It's not like I go there every day looking to see what the next writing's going to be.
How often do they write?
I don't know.
They like pumping out like a writing a day.
You know, I just don't know. I don't know. Apparently, there's only ever been two that I've ever read. So there you are.
See, I want this blog. I want to go see how the blog's doing.
See, why would you lie like that? Because I know that the one from last year was sent, and then I know when I first met this person that I got sent one. So there's two right there. So that shoots the whole thing. And I know there was one or two other ones in the midst of the years. Whatever.
Well, I guess you got to go find them.
I see, but I don't. No.
I don't know. I mean, are they good?
See, right there. That's a bait question.
Well, I never read them.
No, it's all interpretation.
So they're not good. That's what I'm getting.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say they were good.
Well, I've only read two. I can't really be.
But were the two you read good?
Yeah. you know about the one.
I do know about the one.
There you go.
I mean the one.
I think that says it all.
The one wasn't poorly written. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Much like the person who wrote it. See?
Oh, man.
Well, right there. See, now right there. But there won't be a negative comment because I think the New Year's resolution is I'm not going to let him get under my skin.
I think that'll last about a week.
No, I think that's nice. I think that's nice that the person has done that.
I don't know. I think it means you've gotten under their skin to such an extent that now they feel the need to say to themselves that you have not gotten under their skin.
They'll deny this.
Well, I understand. Yeah, probably.
But you've seen this
person. It's the whole, like, living rent-free in your head thing. Nobody's gonna be like, yeah.
No, but you know this person has been agitated by things I've done in the past.
Yes.
Now, you know, if all of a sudden they weren't agitated, you'd know that that's phony.
It'd be different.
There you are.
It'd be different.
Well, there you are.
I don't know. They're an interesting person sometimes.
They are. Again, everybody would do well to see a psychiatrist.
Well, yeah. Psychiatry sounds interesting.
We're down to 80 degrees in here.
Well, that's good. Knocked it down 5.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind. But, you know, that's the way life goes.
You'll have that, I guess.
I appreciate that people, you know, make changes in their life to try to, I don't know what, but, you know, whatever.
I guess. I don't know. Also, sidetrack a bit, but psychiatry seems a bit weird. It's a weird concept. I'm going to a random person who I've never met before, and I'm about to go spill the whole life story.
I'm going to tell a real story. Now, this has nothing to do with me, but I heard this story. So, well, I wasn't a part, but I witnessed it, okay? Okay, so there's this girl, okay? And she's dating a coworker, okay?
All right.
And we are all aware of this. The coworkers are aware that they're dating, okay? Now, they won't admit it, but we're aware of it. Definitely aware of it, okay?
All right.
Okay. So, the boyfriend is not there one night. And the girl goes to a local restaurant on her break with another boy. And people see this.
Like different boy or
different, not the boyfriend.
Okay.
Who she's working with that night.
Yep.
All right. The boyfriend finds out about this from the coworkers and gets upset. Now, allegedly they've patched this up. But do you think she was wrong?
I don't know. Who was it?
Well, I'm gonna say.
Well, no, I don't mean a name. Like who? I mean, like, in what relation was this person to her?
I don't know. That's why it was odd.
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on whatever relation that they had. I mean, I don't know if you don't know. I don't know. I go to dinner with, I don't know, my brother sometimes.
But that no. That's not the same thing.
Oh no! I mean, it could have been her brother.
No, it wasn't her brother. It was a coworker.
Wait. She went to dinner with a different coworker?
Yes.
Oh. So she's dating a coworker, went to dinner with another coworker.
Right.
Okay.
And the coworkers saw this.
Oh.
And immediately they said, oh.
Yeah, that's I don't know. That's a bit weird.
Okay. So I think she's wrong.
Probably.
She doesn't.
I'm sure she doesn't.
Right, but I tried to explain to her that the fact that you did not tell your boyfriend that you did this is proof that it was a little, you know, kooky.
Yeah.
Because that's why he got upset. He heard it from other people days later.
Oh, well, I mean, it's...
This is the world of the relationship.
Yeah, I don't think you should. Well, you know, dating coworkers is a bit weird.
Well, it's too late.
Complicated times.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's what happened, though.
Yeah.
So I believe that she was wrong because if she told him, I think she would have been okay. But I think she didn't tell him because she knew there'd be a problem.
I mean, I guess. I suppose.
Those are the problems you deal with.
For what reason did she go to lunch or dinner with this
person? I have no idea.
That was not a good move. That was questionable move. I think she's probably in the wrong there.
And then she can't understand why her boyfriend's upset.
I think she can probably understand. I think she just doesn't want to admit
that
she understands.
Well, she didn't like the jokes. She certainly did not like the jokes.
Well, you know.
Anyway.
You'll have that, I guess.
Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Do you think that's the wrong move to make? I wonder what Christian would think of that.
The girl thing?
Yeah, because last I knew he had a girlfriend.
Oh, well, yeah.
Let's say his girlfriend went with another guy to a restaurant and did not tell him. And then he found out that that had happened. Would he be angry?
I'm sure he would. Oh, I mean, I can't speak for him. I don't know him all that well, really, I guess. But, I mean, I think it'd be reasonable to be upset, I think, yeah.
You know, we have the big Santa Claus in the studio now. I think that that...
The big Coca-Cola Santa Claus.
Yeah, I think that just fits right in.
I think so, yeah.
It didn't even feel like Christmas
it.
To me over there.
Well, no, it's just, you know.
It just looks like a classic artifact.
Big old man drinking a Coca-Cola.
You know, I was trying to tell Bob earlier, because he seemed to feel that people read the stuff in the walls, on the walls in here. This is not a museum.
Well, also, like, he was trying to read it during the show for some reason. Like, I've read just about everything there is. Well, I'm pretty sure everything with words that there is in here, I have read at one point or another. I just, you know, you got 15 minutes in between shows. I mean, you have plenty of time.
Yeah, but it's not a museum.
Yeah.
It's just a studio.
Well, then what'd you put all the stuff on the walls for, I guess, if you're not...
You have something on the walls.
No, you don't.
You do,
yeah. I have two things on the wall at my house.
These are just, you know, things.
I don't know. I guess I'd probably put a lot of this stuff on a wall somewhere, maybe. The problem is I'm just... takes such effort to decorate.
We put obituaries on the wall.
There are obituaries on the wall, yes. Two of them. Yeah.
Some of the stuff I don't even know why it's on the wall. It's probably because it was in a frame.
You just slapped it on the wall.
Yeah.
Fair enough, I guess.
We got a proclamation from the mayor of LaRue.
LaRue.
Nope. LaRue. That's what we did there. We came up with the correct pronunciation.
They didn't like LaRue.
I don't remember what they voted on.
I mean,
to be
fair, I guess it is L.A., you know, Rue, so, you know, LaRue, I suppose, but...
So what do you think about the county being in financial trouble?
I think that's interesting. I have been under the assumption that the county was doing pretty well. Apparently, they are not doing pretty well.
You know, there's something wrong in Marion.
Seems that way.
I don't know what's going on here.
Well, I mean, you know, we're overspending somewhere.
You know, would you really want to be at the helm of anything when this time is looked back upon?
I've thought about running for county commissioner.
Okay.
I didn't, obviously.
Well, you got time.
I do have time.
I'm wondering if anybody else is going to run for governor. They've got to, like, February the 4th.
I don't know. One of my friends suggested I run for governor. He did it as a joke, but I was like, it's such a waste of my time.
Well, I don't know.
I would spend so much time and money just to lose the race.
Well, it depends on what you did.
Well, first off, I'd have to either hop in a primary against Vivek or hop in a primary with Amy Acton.
See, but that
and
also...
Hopping in a primary with Vivek's not going to do me any good because they already picked Vivek. Hopping in one with Amy Acton's probably not going to do me any good because she's already got all the momentum behind her.
Yeah,
hopping
but...
in as an independent's pretty much a losing race.
I don't know. No, there are ways around that.
I mean, it's possible.
I'm not going to say them, but there are ways around that.
Ways around what?
How you do that.
Knock on a billion doors.
No, you don't do that.
The cheapest thing to do is knock on doors.
You're never going to get the money that they've got.
Yeah?
So you have to go a different route.
Knock on doors.
Okay. No, that's not going to work, but there are different things you can do.
You could talk to a whole bunch of people.
No, but I will be interested to see if anybody else gets into the race.
I wouldn't think so.
I think
so.
There's another Republican getting in. Casey Putch or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody knows who that is.
Yeah, and Vivek's probably... Well, you know.
Does anybody get in with any experience?
Doesn't seem that way.
You know what's funny? Everybody says get experience, but if you ask the people with experience to run, they say no. So I don't understand. It's like a very downward spiral.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. Like I said, I've said it a lot now. I was hoping Tim Ryan was going to get into the race. He would have been the only one with any experience in there.
Well, that ship sailed.
Yes. Same thing with Dave Yost. I was hoping he was going to hop in, and he quit before it even started.
I don't know. All I know is that it's an interesting race. It certainly is entertaining.
Well, it's going to be a first either way.
Right, but you've got two entertaining people. Because you've got two people who both have national reputations. Indeed. And I don't remember... Yeah, I don't remember the last time that's happened.
What makes them entertaining?
Well, that they have no experience, and that...
I don't know if that's entertaining.
That's entertaining, because they're not going to do the conventional campaign. And you can't knock either one of them on their record, so that makes it unconventional. Because normally, that's what you would do. And you've got a first either
well,
way.
Well, you don't have a political record. You still have a record.
But people don't care about
they'll
that.
Go after
listen,
Amy,
as we've talked about, the president's Amy a convicted Act- felon. Yes. It doesn't matter.
They'll go after Amy Acton for COVID, and they'll go after...
Right, but that's entertaining. That's not you signed the bill in 1975 to do... Nobody cares about that.
And they'll go after Vivek for being like a you know, a billionaire pharmaceutical
right, but that's
guy
entertaining.
Who's Donald
that's
Trump's
not... you signed a bill. That's not you backed this. That's not that. That's more entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it's not policy. There's no policy to throw
right
at.
And you also have two people who are firsts.
Yeah.
That's another thing that makes it entertaining. And you've got two people that are known on the national level. That makes it entertaining.
Is Amy Acton really
yep
known on a national level?
I've asked people. Yes, I've asked people in other states, and they are aware of who she is.
Okay.
She was given the John F. Kennedy Award.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
See, Amy Acton is the most underestimated candidate in the history of Ohio politics, and I think people are going to regret that in November.
Well, I'm not saying she's underestimated.
People...
I just think she has no experience. Same thing as Vivek.
That's fine, but people do under... Nobody's saying that... The things that they say about her, they're not saying about him.
Like what?
Well, they're not pointing out his major, major flaws. But they are pointing out her major, major flaws, which I think is very interesting. You know, that is she really known nationally? You know, they're going to knock her for COVID, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's okay. Gotcha. But what about... I think there's some albatrosses around the other guy's neck as well.
Well, yeah, I mean...
But nobody's talking about those.
I mean, yes.
That's her opponent.
Now, I don't know. You seem to think it's going to be like a catastrophic number, but I mean,
catastrophic number.
You gotta give me a second.
I don't even know what you're saying.
Well, yeah, because I didn't say it yet.
You stopped.
Because you jumped in.
Well, because you said I said something. I don't think I said catastrophic number.
Yeah, but because I didn't finish.
Go ahead.
You seem to think it's going to be some kind of like catastrophic number, but I mean, I do. I mean, there's going to be at least a decent number of people who don't like the fact that his name is Vivek Ramaswamy mm-hmm. and he's Hindu.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to work.
I don't think it's a catastrophic number, though.
Well, yeah.
Enough to cause a problem.
That sounds like catastrophic.
No, it doesn't have to be a catastrophic number. He will win the rural counties. He will not win them by the margin that DeWine or Kasich did, which is what the Republican
so
has to do.
You think he's still going to win, like, I don't know, Morrow
yep.
County and all those?
Yep.
And then
yep.
he's just not going to win by the margin he needs to?
Right. He'll lose the independents. That's the problem. The people who are of the Republican Party, of course they're going to vote for him.
Why the independents? Because the independents may be, in theory, more, I don't know, egalitarian?
No. No, because
I'm in the middle of the road.
No. What I'm saying is, I think you're missing the point here. Again, we've had Republican governors for 16 years, Kasich and DeWine. They are white men.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they are older white men.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a 38-year-old Hindu non-white man.
Mm-hmm.
He's not gonna win in Marion County, Morrow County, Meigs County, and a whole other group of places in Ohio that he needs to win by large numbers to make up those losses in the liberal areas that he needs to win by to win the election. And that ultimately is the problem. Now, does that give Amy Acton the election? No, but the voters you lose are not the hardcore Republicans. You talk to the hardcore Republicans, of course they're all in on Vivek Ramaswamy. They all are. But it's the Joe Blystone Republican. It's the people who did not like Mike DeWine. The people who like Mike DeWine will vote for Vivek Ramaswamy because they're Republicans. It's their R's.
They're not the same people.
They're not, but they're R's. They are R's. That's why DeWine will eventually endorse him. They're R's. Yost will eventually endorse him. They're R's. But they're, the independent, the I, is not an R. But the I in Ohio has tended to go Republican. But this is a different thing.
I mean, I don't know. Vivek's got some policies that seem to be...
But she can make a mistake. Well, there's that too. But I just don't see where she's going to be hurt in the liberal areas. You know, nobody in Toledo or Cleveland or Columbus or Cincinnati is going to look, Akron, nobody's going to look at her record during COVID and say, I can't vote for her because of that. If you're a hardcore Democrat in Ohio, if you're the Democrats that voted for Rich Cordray, you're going to vote for her. That's not a turnoff. You have to figure out what's the turnoff. The people who are turned off by her already vote Republican. That's no big loss.
I don't know. I mean, Vivek's got some rather non-Republican stances.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
I don't think Vivek Ramaswamy, with the Donald Trump endorsement, gets a single Democrat to vote for him in Ohio. And he's got to do that. Well, and he won't.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think if you're registered a Democrat and you aren't going to vote for Amy Act, then odds are you're not going to vote.
You don't think Democrats voted for Mike DeWine?
I mean, like, maybe a few.
That's about all you need.
But I think that maybe a few are going to vote. I mean, less than four DeWine, sure, I guess. But because, you know, Trump...
You think Democrats didn't vote for John Kasich?
I mean, I know Democrats who voted for Donald Trump in the last election, which for some reason...
Different world.
Apparently...
Different world.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be... I mean, is the number going to be as big for as it was for, like, DeWine? No. But I'm sure
but it's
there's
going to
be some crossover. Not a amount... No, by no means a small amount.
But do you know how close the Cordray-DeWine race was?
No.
Close. I think it was, like, 47% for Cordray. I mean, it wasn't, like, 10%. It wasn't, like, the Nan Whaley race. So, and that was during the first term of Donald Trump, when he was still semi-popular in the state. That was 2018. So, I mean, do you really think that she can't get the Rich Cordray numbers? And do you think that Vivek's going to get the Mike DeWine numbers?
Of Democrats?
Yeah.
No, I don't think Vivek's... I just said that I don't think Vivek's going to get the Mike DeWine numbers of Democrats.
Well, that's what you got to do.
I mean, I think that there are going to be at least a few Democrats who vote for Vivek just because, you know, that's how odds work, I guess.
Okay, Cordray got 46.67. DeWine got 50.4. That's in 2018.
So, like, what, 3.8, something like that?
3.8. And that's in the middle of Donald Trump's first... presidency. That's November of 2018.
Why didn't Cordray run for office again?
Well, I don't know that he'd be a good shot. But look at that map. Look at all the counties that are red. You think that, and that's to win. You think that, let's see here. You think that that's going to look that way for Vivek Ramaswamy? Not a chance. Not a chance.
Well, I mean, you know, probably not.
And that's with a Republican winning with 50% of the vote. Cordray won what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 counties, and got 47% of the vote. You think she can't win those 9 counties by Cordray numbers?
Where's Columbus? The big blue one in the middle there.
Right in the middle. Then you get your Akron, your Cleveland, your Toledo over here.
Yeah.
Cincinnati. You think she can't carry those 9 counties?
Oh, I mean, I think any big city in Ohio, I mean, that's typically how it works. The big cities in Ohio go Democrat.
Then she's got 47% of the vote. You think Vivek's going to carry all those, 79 other counties?
Probably not.
Then you got a problem.
Well, I mean, he'll probably carry them. I mean, he might. I don't think he'll win all the ones that DeWine won. I'll be honest with you.
You almost
but
have
I
to.
Think that he probably won't drop too many. But
look
I think
at the vote
that,
count. 2 million. 2 million essentially. What did DeWine have? 2,200,000. Cordray, 2 million. You think there aren't 200,000 people?
I think there are probably. I think it's more likely that there are 200,000 people who just aren't going to vote.
And I bet you it's not the Amy Acton crowd.
Probably not.
And that gives Amy Acton the gubernatorialship.
Maybe.
I'm telling you, numbers. I covered this election. Mary Ellen Withrow was Rich Cordray's treasurer. I remember this election very well.
She was going to be the treasurer?
No. She was the treasurer for his campaign.
Oh, I was so confused. I was like, I thought, what?
Right. And that's also with every... That's no Sherrod Brown race. That's also going to be something people have to look at.
I think Sherrod Brown's going to do... I think he can beat Husted.
You know, I...
Husted's got some issues.
There just are some problems. But maybe Ramaswamy can turn it around. But it was a 200,000 race. 200,000 vote race.
Well, that's close.
That's very close. So there you are. What's coming up next on your show?
Well, tonight we're going to be talking about the college football playoffs. I'll give some predictions there that I'm definitely not qualified to give as I know nothing about college football. And then we're going to talk about the NFL and then maybe some politics, seeing as the county is now apparently facing money problems as well.
What did the Supreme Court just rule on?
Ooh, that's interesting.
I'll tell you, they're doing stuff left, right, and sideways now.
Where'd it go?
I wonder if it was tariffs. A crowd showed up, well, something. Well, it must not have been a big thing, because I don't know. Anyway. You'll have to learn about that next hour. But for now, we're heading for the dugout, and that's up next. Stay tuned.
Grit not getting as many award Emmys, things like that. Does that ever factor in?
No, because I say the work is its own reward. You can't decide who's going to give you an award.